the game got over, I just couldn't get off the court. It took me a little while to make my way out off the gym floor.
Let's get started. What a start to the show. Welcome back to Last Man's Opinion. I'm your host, Tommy McGrell. With me tonight are the same three gentlemen as always. Dan Mara, Roland Varielli, and Rich Cakel.
So let me get this straight. You left not because you had a podcast that you were dedicated to.
No. The game got over. I just couldn't get off the court. It took me a little while to make my way out off the gym floor.
One more step back, Roland, before we go further. I like how Dan said he expected to be done by about 9:20, so he sets up the pod to start at exactly 9:20, where that's his like final end time. Like
we would have been fine at 9:30, 9:40.
I know. I probably should have said 9:30.
Not sitting here for 35 minutes.
Well, it would have been only 5 if I didn't 5 to 10.
All right, so what's the injury now?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Not leg. Give us something more specific here.
Well, I honestly thought it was my Achilles.
Oh,
but
boy.
I know, but I think it's just my calf. That's always my concern. Anytime, and I, you know, sometimes you feel it, Roland, and yes. I felt it like earlier, and I was like, whatever. And then
I've done that when I'm lifting too, like when I'm squatting, and now I'm getting fucking old. So anytime I feel that like weakness, I'm like we're done. Cause I've blown out my back almost every year squatting heavy, like for the last God knows how many years.
Well, that's right. So stupid because like, I know.
Yep.
Like, I'm not like an idiot. Like I know, like, but you know, I'm like in the groove, I'm playing pretty well. I'm like, fuck it, I'll be all right. And then like, and it's stupid. It's not even anything. It's just like I just jumped to block a shot, and then I was like, "Oh no,
oh no!" how did you get to your car afterwards?
I needed help.
Slowly.
Well, you know, it's embarrassing. You have two people from your team, like you know, your arm on each of their shoulders as you're like one legged limping out of the fucking thing.
I mean, why is that embarrassing though? Injuries are real, bro.
Yeah. That's true. I know, but it is.
You won't get hate from us.
Oh, because I'm like 40. Because I'm like 41, and I'm like, okay, why am I? But I've been a year ago. I was at a pickup game, and this guy who's probably like 50 was sprinted down the floor and like jumped for like a loose ball. That was stupid, and he lost his balance and he fell. He's a big guy, broke his collarbone.
Oh my God!
On the court. Ah, that was brutal. I was like, holy shit. The funniest was a guy on my team. He's still on my team, and he dislocated his finger, I guess. And he was like on the court, and he couldn't get off the court. So we had to call an ambulance to come, and the paramedics came, and they're like, "All right, so what's the matter?" And like we meet him at the front door, and we're like, "Oh, he dislocated his finger," and they're like, "All right, where is he?" And we're like, "Oh, he's still upstairs in the." On the floor, and he's like, the cop's like, he couldn't walk down the stairs. And I was like, I guess not. And he's like writhing around in pain. Meanwhile, like you see, like LeBron James, like last night, dislocates the finger and then like pops it back into place. That was funny. Anyway,
that's pretty funny though. Like, I still don't understand how could he not get.
Not to him, not to his face, obviously, because yeah. Right. He's still sensitive about it, but like everybody else on the team, still behind his back makes fun of him about it because it's like
I just don't understand. Thing. I can't wrap my head around it. Like, what do you mean you could not
walk off the court?
I don't understand.
Oh, none of us could. We're like, what is going on? Why can't like the paramedics literally is like, why can't he walk down the stairs?
Connected.
Like they thought it was like he blew out like connected. His knee or his like Achilles or like a leg injury. We're like, no. No, it's his pinky.
Same. I got this puppy dislocated. Except I got it rear-ended at like 65 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah. You weren't trying to swipe a basketball from like a 45-year-old.
I was not, no.
And you were probably able to walk it off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There was a guy at our game last week. He dislocated his finger in the middle of the game. Did he ride around on the... No. He's like, fuck, dislocated my finger. Picked up his shit and went to the hospital so they could pop it in.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
It would have been nice for like, hey, Dane, you know, you work at a hospital. You think you can pop this back in for me?
Yeah. Hey, you must see something, right?
So when I got my finger dislocated, it took them an hour and a half before they gave me any medication. Like Tylenol, really? Anything. My finger was sideways.
Oh my God.
And Jess came and she's like, how are you feeling? And I'm like, fair amount of pain. And she's like, you're in pain? And I was like, yep. And she's like, didn't they give you anything? And I was like, nope. And she's like, haven't you been here for over an hour? I was like, yep.
Nice.
Oh, God.
My worst was, this is bad, but like, it, whatever. I might have to go into a work walking boot, depending on how it feels tomorrow. But my worst, I think, like, I dislocated my shoulder 10, 12 years ago. That was pretty bad. That hurts.
Which leg was this, your left or your right, by the way?
My right.
So how was that driving home? Did you drive yourself home?
I'm driving right now, actually.
And okay.
I'm going very slow. I could barely push the pedal.
That sounds safe. Okay, good.
You can. Do you have adaptive cruise control?
I do. Yeah. That is a good idea. Because
you can use that. So my friend used it in traffic and shit. So I think you can use it.
Yeah, for sure.
I am just on the highway. There's no traffic here. I could probably just. Cruise control.
Give yourself a little break. You deserve it, then.
You
deserve it. I did it. You're right, guys. Thanks. Thanks for the support. Oh, man.
So what beer are you drinking?
Yeah. You might as well make this even more challenging.
I'm gonna have a seltzer.
That is recommended. Recommended by the pod.
Yeah. Do you want to jump right into it, or do you want to wait till you get home to...
No. Let's do it. What do you want to talk about? Where do we want to start, though? Do you want to start with the Knicks or the Sixers?
You got to start with the Knicks being up 2-0. I mean, that's what you got to start with, right?
Okay. You want me to start? My initial thoughts? And then we'll go from there?
Sure.
So, I may have been a little overdramatic last night in the chat, Roland.
Dane, you're not overdramatic anymore. We just know to ignore...
It's your emotions.
But I will say I very strongly, well, actually, let's talk about the positive first and then that. So I think, I think game one kind of went as expected, to be honest with you. I thought the Knicks probably would win game one. We talked about like the rebounding advantage, like that's, that's gonna be tough for the Sixers, although they were much better in game two. I think Josh Hart is I think every team needs a Josh Hart, like that type of player. I think Philly has him. I think Kyle Lowry is that type of player. He's just 10 years older.
Right. Right. Yeah. He's always been that type of player for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's not as effective because he's, 39 or whatever. But I mean, he's that type of player. Josh Hart's been phenomenal. Hart and Stein's been phenomenal. And then they've gotten, big game in game two from DiVincenzo, big game in game one from McBride. Bogdanovich has, knocked down some shots. So I think Tibbs is actually coached pretty well. I think if you're the Knicks, I think you had to win both of your home games because I think two reasons. I think one, if you went to Philly as a split, I think game three, that Philly crowd was going to be insane. And I don't think the Knicks win game three and now you're down 2-1. And now the pressure starts to build. Now being up 2-0, I think, a lot of the pressure is on the Sixers here. I think that crowd, and Richie, correct me if I'm wrong, or if you think differently, but I think now in game three, that crowd is ready to explode,
disagree with you on the crowd because the crowd has...
You think so the much crowd's going to be up on the refs?
No, the crowd has so much hate for Toby that the home court advantage has been lost a little bit this season because all season, Maybe not the first month of the season. All season, the fans are just waiting for Toby to touch the ball and boo him. And it kind of kills the morale of the crowd.
Well, and that's what I was going to... Well, so I guess I was concerned that if it goes back tied, I felt like the crowd would just be like, yeah, let's fucking go. Now that they're down 2-0, I feel like they're even crazier. So, like, if the Sixers go down 10-0, or if Toby misses his first two or three shots, like, it can... completely cascading. Oh,
it's going to be my expectation is, and again, maybe it's, you know, because the last couple years of Doc, the team has, you know, not responded well to adversity.
Yes.
You know, this year, like, right. Sixers had a lot of comebacks this year in games, and after every game, fans were like, oh, you know, this wouldn't have happened under Doc, this wouldn't have happened under Doc, we would have lost this game, blah blah blah. But you know, now it's playoffs, so I mean, you know, again, I still have the expectation, like, you know, last year they had the tough game 6 versus the Celtics, and then which they blew in
whatever game 7 was,
they got destroyed. So sure. I'm expecting that to happen here again,
and that's why I kind of thought the Knicks really needed to, because I feel like now, I think now. With the Knicks up 2-0, the pressure is completely on Philly to win game 3. I don't think, maybe it's not fair to say Embiid doesn't play well in big games, but like I would question how good, like, is Toby going to come out confident in game 3? Like, no way. Buddy Hield's been a disaster, I think, for Philly so far this series.
Yeah, I mean, he's been bad, and he's only been playing like 10 to 15 minutes. Well,
Nurse even was like, I can't even play him. He's not playing well. So
he,
like,
he only played 7-man rotation last game, I think, or was it 8?
I think it was 8. Yeah. It's 8. But I mean, the 8th guy's only getting 7 minutes a game. So like, that's why I felt like it was so critical for the Knicks to win, because I think like now, like, the Philly fans are ready to like if they don't get off to a hot start, like, they could turn on them and that could really go south.
Oh yeah, yeah, like, yeah. If they're down in the first quarter by 7 or 8, they're gonna be booing them.
Yeah, let's say the Knicks take a 25-15 lead. You know, Brunson just hits a 3. Toby misses a wide open 3. Like, misses a wide open 3. Transition 3 for Brunson. 25-15 Knicks in the first. Nurse calls a timeout. Like, that is nightmare for Philly. Like, that, like, to me, like, that could really go south. And that's why I thought the MQ was so critical.
Part of me kind of wants to see that, just because I want to see if the issues last few years were Doc issues, or if it was player issues, because, you know, I don't know. I feel like that's really telling, because that's important. If you're going to continue building around Embiid, you got to find out if it was him or Doc.
Can I have an observation that I've found watching? Because obviously I've watched the Sixers for a while, but like, they haven't played the Knicks. I haven't like intently watched every single minute. I have a takeaway after 2 games. You ready?
What's that? Embiid can't last through the fourth quarter because he's too fucking tired.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit more nuanced. Well, first, I'll say one positive. I knew he was good, but I feel like he's like, Maxey's unbelievable this series. He looks really, really good. Like, well,
I did tell you he was going to average more points than Embiid this series.
Yeah, but. It's just like how he's like, honestly, if I'm Philly, and you probably would agree, but if I'm Philly, I'd rather Maxey take a 35-foot 3-pointer over 2 Knicks defenders than have Toby take a wide open 3 at this point.
Oh, I mean, listen, that's not fair, because Toby's had the worst season of his career. That's just not fair.
It's true. But that's true. Maybe that's not a good, but like I think Maxey's been
use Buddy Hield as the example. Buddy Hield's
okay. Buddy Hield. Even Batum. I would even take. So to me, I would say, well, and I don't even think it's close. I think Maxey's been the best player in this series. I think he's honest. I think he's been phenomenal, and I love, and here's where I'm going to get to Embiid now. So obviously there was some questions after game 2, right? But like, if somebody said this about LeBron, and it's so true about Embiid too. So LeBron comes in the press conference after the Lakers lose, and the first thing he says starts bitching about the refs and the calls and all this other stuff. And like somebody's like, you know, people would get on LeBron so much if the first thing he said at this freaking press conference was, hey guys, I fucked up. I had a wide open three. If I make it, we win the game. But I missed. I have to make that shot. And it, and like that's what Maxie said after the game. Did you, I don't know if you heard it. But like I thought Maxie was great. Like to me, like Maxie is somebody, but like Embiid, but like what he says after the games. But then it's also, and this is gonna sound maybe stupid, but like, do you watch, I mean, I'm sure you watch him during the games, but look at the Knicks players or look at other Sixers or look at, like, he is not at like intense, you know, I don't know if that makes sense, but like you see, like Josh Hart, yeah, Lowry does it, but like Josh Hart starts yapping at people. Brunson's going to talk shit. Hartenstein's going to push back. Like Embiid really, like he's helping players off the court from the other team. Like he knocks somebody out. He's like, oh my bad. Sorry, dude. And he pulls him up. I was like, what are you doing? Like, I'm a Knicks fan. I don't want you like, I don't, like, it's like a weird little thing, but I'm like, why is he doing that? He's like too nice or something.
The problem is he's an introvert. You know, he wants to be respected by other players in the league is one problem. Number two, like, you know, ever since he's been in Philly, he doesn't hang out with players because all he wants to do is go home and be by himself. Like, the team will go out to party and he goes home and plays video games because, again, he's an introvert. That's just the type of person he is. So, and he's one of those players that he's not going to lead by being fiery. He's going to lead by quietly doing his thing.
And that's okay, but like, and that's fine. But like, it's the comments after the game. Like to me, like Maxie's comments, Maxie's play. I'm like, I'm all in on Maxie. I think Maxie is a star. Like, I think Maxie's great. Like to me, like, okay, he's the guy you build around. And B, like his comments after the game. Like, you don't have to be a fiery guy, but like, fucking help the Knicks off. Don't apologize for knocking somebody to the ground. Like, what are you doing?
I did notice a few times where he picked up Knicks off the ground. Like,
why? Right? I thought that was the oddest thing. I was like, I guarantee no Knick is going to help a Sixer up off the ground this entire series. But like,
it doesn't happen often. Like in the NBA, you don't see that often.
And like, and I get that they're friends.
It does get annoying
and,
sometimes.
Yeah, like, and it sounds like it's such a stupid thing, but I'm watching it, and I'm like, does he? Like, how badly does he want to win? Obviously, he wants to win, but, like, is he willing to, like, if you know, they said, hey, you need to knock Jalen Brunson out cold to win this series. Like, just punch him in the face, and you automatically win. No way. No way you would do it.
No way.
No way. But if you say, Jalen Brunson, you need to knee Joel Embiid in the groin, and you automatically win the series, fuck, he's the guy's going to do it. He's, you know, like I don't know.
He's a gamer.
Doesn't have that.
He's a gamer.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the one thing with Embiid. And then, one other thing or two other things, and then I'll let you, I'm curious to do your thoughts. One, I thought, did you see in the fourth quarter when, in game two, when the Sixers made their comeback, and I wish I knew or like knew the strategy of basketball way better or could pick up what was going on. But when the Sixers made the comeback, so I think the Maxie and B pick and roll is basically unguardable. And so I don't know if you noticed this in the fourth quarter, but they ran that play, I don't know, four times, five times in a row. It was so funny. So the first time they run it, they run the pick and roll. And so your options are basically fight through the screen. And then if Maxie gets half a step, he's going to the basket. And then the defender either has to help or stay on the three-point shooter in the corner. Right? I mean, that's basically it.
Right. That's all it is. That's simple.
I mean, that's all it is. That's really all it is. Or he gives it to Embiid, and Embiid probably shoots like, you know, if the center comes to help, you just give the ball to Embiid, and Embiid's like 90% from that like foul line area. Like the guy doesn't miss that shot. Like doesn't miss. So it's completely unguardable. But the first time they ran it,
and not only does he not miss, like it's like even if you double team him from that spot and he has to shoot a fadeaway, he's still likely not going to miss.
Yeah, it's as automatic as like a dunk. I feel like it's.
Well, like the crazy thing is, it's more automatic for Embiid than a dunk because he can't fucking jump.
That's true. Because he can't jump. You're right. It's the most automatic jump shot I've ever seen. So the first time they ran it, they had Toby. I don't know if you remember this, but they had Toby in the corner. And, you know, the Knicks played it correctly. You know, they doubled off of Toby. Maxie made the right call. He passed Toby. Toby misses. obviously. Then the next time they do it, they had Kyle Lowry in the corner. Lowry, obviously, knocks it down. And then they did it, and then I think the Knicks stayed on Lowry. I forget. They scored like 10 straight points off of this freaking pick and roll. And then either Philly moved away from it or Tibbs did something. And this is why I wish I knew NBA a little bit better. Yeah, but then they didn't go to it again. I was like, I wonder if the Knicks changed something. But the other problem is I don't feel like Philly has a consistent enough shooter to stay in that corner. Because I think Batum missed one, Toby missed one, and like they're wide open.
Yeah, if I was the Knicks, I would leave Toby wide open every single time until he proves he can do it.
I also noticed
Toby hit a couple, but he's been. I think Toby's also the type, if you'd leave him wide open like that, and like.
Oh, it would get messed with his head.
If he knows you're doing it intentionally because you're not respecting him, like, you're going to mess with his mental state.
Oh, totally. No, I know. So
that's one of two things I think Knicks should do more. Disrespect Toby, and I really think they should attack Embiid under the basket more, because I feel like even just Iheart going underneath, like, Embiid's getting no jump blocking just his jumpers from 5 feet away. Like, I feel like they could exploit that down there.
Well, and that's why I feel like Iheart was so critical, and that's why I think the Knicks were not fortunate to win game one, but they're more fortunate, obviously, to win game two. But, Hartenstein gives them, like, with Mitch in the game, Mitch is probably better defensively against Embiid, but he offers almost zero offensively unless he's getting, offensive rebounds or a lob. Like, Hartenstein has that little, push jumper that he can make from, 6, 7, 8 feet away. And Embiid's not going to leave. Embiid's not leaving the basket.
Right.
So essentially that shot wide open all game. Yep. And game one, he missed them all. Game two, he made, I don't know, he got 14 points. He made a handful of them. Like, if he's making that shot, it makes it
he
so much.
He could score 30
different.
Points.
He could, because essentially Brunson's been bad. We can talk about Brunson, but Brunson, because when Brunson drives, everybody collapses on him. And then you have Hartenstein, 6, 7 feet away, wide open. And that, they could do that almost every play because Embiid's not leaving that area. He's not leaving.
They had great success with that. Especially towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
They were converting that pretty regularly, so.
Yeah, and honestly, it only comes down to whether or not he can make it. Game one, he didn't. And that's why Knicks fans liked Hartenstein in the lineup for even when Mitch was out, because he kind of had that little chemistry, because with Mitch in, you just double Brunson underneath, and what's Mitch going to do? He can't even catch the fucking ball unless it's a lob. So Hartenstein, you can kind of give him that little pass and he can knock it down. But I will say, and then I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the series. I don't think it's over. I don't think I think Philly could easily win these next two games.
Knicks have a 69% chance of winning.
Is that a FanDuel?
No, it's Roland Duel.
Probably Tommy Duel too. Because I do think the Sixers have a very good chance. I mean, they could have easily won either of the two games. I mean, the only thing I would say, and I hate when people are like, oh, well, we could have won either game one or two. So Philly's definitely going to win. Each game is so different. So it's not
it's impossible.
It's impossible to predict.
The next game could be a blowout.
So I don't want to say it because of that, but I don't think the series is by far over. I mean, I know Philly's favored, I think, by 4.5, 5 points in game three. So I think Philly could easily win these next two games, because I do think this is a pretty evenly matched series. But
I got to see how they respond. I'll know by early second quarter. We'll know how they're going to respond.
Yeah.
I mean, the game was over by the end of the first quarter last year. So I mean, the game seven. So we'll know pretty quickly.
Yeah.
One thing I will say that gives me a little more optimism is, Embiid, after the ref comments, he did say, I like how we played, I thought we should have won this game, I'm confident we can come back. He was very assertive, which is not normal for the way he talks. Like, again, you know, you talked about how passive it was, like, helping players. He never talks confidently like that, like, aggressively. You know, that's not how he talks. So, so you know, and most people didn't hear his comments other than the ref comments, but...
Well, I will say, he sounds very... I mean, obviously, he thinks they're the better team, and you know, they should have won, and they're going to win. He sounds very confident. I will say that.
Although the one thing that concerns me, though, is he's never had this lack of confidence in his body before, though. In that same press conference, you know, I don't know if you listened to the whole thing last night.
So
the first thing was the refs, and then the second thing was how confident he was in the team. But then the third thing, and he's talked about this like three or four times since he's come back from the injury, but he said it again last night. He's like, you know, my leg's been responding well. It's just, you know, mentally, I just don't have confidence in my leg right now. You know, I keep thinking it's going to, you know, be injured.
Like, blow out again, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when a player's playing, like, you know, thinking that's concerning to me.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh, I would certainly be concerned too. I mean, so with Embiid, is he, I mean, it's probably a combination of both, but do you think he's, so that one play, I mean, McBride got the steal. He ended up missing the layup, but like Embiid couldn't even run back. Is he still hurt? He obviously has a brace on. Is he still hurt, you think? Is he out of shape? Like, how bad is either?
I think it's all of the above. One, I think obviously it's a huge brace, so it's going to limit his mobility. Yeah. Right.
It does
there.
Look like it's a massive fucking brace.
Yeah, it's huge. So one, that. Two, obviously, you know, he missed a few months, so conditioning, he's not 100%. And three, you know, I still think his body's just not 100% healthy. You know, I think he, you know, had to come back and try to get in game shape, you know, and well, and then number four too, mentally, he doesn't believe in his knee too. So I mean, yeah. I think he's hesitant out there as well to go crazy, and you know, I think he picks in his spots, you know, so it's,
yeah, I think he does definitely picks his spots.
Yeah, so I think it's just a combination of all factors. You know, I don't think it's one thing. But it's weird. Yeah. Like, you know, you see the play where he throws it. He throws it off the backboard to himself for a dunk.
Yep.
But then there's other plays where he can't even jump and try and get a rebound because he has no jumping ability. Like, you know, there's not consistent play.
No. Does not
throughout the game, you know, and then the first game he had a great fourth quarter, so you're like, well, he can't play fourth quarters, but the first game he had a great fourth quarter, you know, and was terrible the first three, but then last game he looked like he had no juice in the fourth quarter. So I mean, again, no consistency, you know, it's just tough to get a read on him.
So what do you think, if you're Nick Nurse, are you making any changes out of game three?
I wouldn't play Toby the fucking 40 plus minutes again.
So who would you play?
I'd probably play against the Knicks. I'd probably play Ricky Council, the rookie.
Would you give him all of Toby's minutes or how?
No, definitely not all. I'd let Toby start the game because you don't want to break Toby mentally completely. You cut his minutes a little bit here and there, and you give Ricky those. You know, I don't know if you've seen Ricky play. He's a rookie. He can't shoot a three very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he can try it, but he's the type that's just going to play hard. You know, he doesn't. He's not smart enough to realize how big the moment is. You know, one of those players that.
Yeah. I think Bill Simmons likes to call them irrationally confident guys.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes that's a good thing, you know?
No, totally. I mean, look at D'Angelo Russell. He's irrationally confident. He almost won the game for the Lakers. I get that.
So, you know, just to tell you how Ricky Cantor is, you know, someone asked him 2 weeks ago, you know, after a good game, they were like, and he had a good dunk. He was like, they said, hey, you know, if the NBA wanted you to do the dunk contest next year, would you do it? He's like, well, yeah, you know, I really believe I'm going to be an all-star next year, so I'll be there anyway. You know, and
I like it.
This dude's a rookie, and he's only playing like 6 minutes a game, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to be an all-star.
Yeah, I'm going to be an all-star.
Dude, know your role, bro. Like, you're not going to be an all-star.
Okay. All right. Ricky Council. So you were saying...
So I'd play him. Just, you know, he's also the type that's going to fight for rebounds. I think he's the perfect guy to go against the Knicks. Like, I don't know if I would play him against some other teams, but he's the guy against the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He'll also punch one of the players in the face if he has to. Like, he's just...
They are getting killed on the board. I mean, it was better in game two, but,
I think it was almost even game two.
It was almost even game two. But, I mean, you know, they gave up two offensive rebounds at the end of the game to lose the game.
Right.
You know, so they certainly were better, but, like, it's like shit like that. Toby's a terrible rebounder.
And those are the minutes that Ricky Counter was getting the last 2 weeks of the season. A lot of games, he was on the court for the final minutes of the game for his energy, for his rebounding, for his aggressiveness.
Yeah.
And I think if he was on the court at the end of the game...
They probably get one of those, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. You know, it's... Coaches are funny, man. They don't have the balls sometimes.
Well, and it's tough, right? Because, I mean, Nurse, I think, is in a little bit of a tough situation, right? Because, so yes, you do need Tope. I mean, you know, you do need Toby. So you have to think about that, I guess, which is true. But it's like, okay, if you take Toby out, no, it's tough because Toby's not shooting very well. But it's like, all right, you need some shooting around Embiid and Maxey, right?
And it's not just shooting. Toby plays solid defense. He's a solid, and he gets rebounds too. I mean, he averages like 8 to 10 rebounds a game. So it's not like he's worthless out there.
No, he's not worthless. But that's a tricky thing, right? Like, because I don't think, like, Kelly Oubre has been playing, I think, decent amount of minutes, and his defense is good, but he can't shoot the ball either. He's not shooting very well.
Right. No.
And like, I'm sure you love Kyle Lowry. Like, he's, you know, but he's 39 and he is what he is. Like, he'll give you a spark every now and then, but like, you can't rely on the guy. And then you like basically have to hope that who, like Batum or like, I mean, Buddy Hield sounds like he's like completely out of the rotation. Almost out of the rotation.
Yeah. They're really missing Melton right now. That's their missing piece.
Yeah. Like, and he's done for the season.
I wish Toby was hurt and Melton was healthy. Like, that would be lovely.
Poor Toby. That would have been ideal. Poor Toby.
Yeah. Now, it's just versus the Knicks, because Melton's such a more important player versus the Knicks than Toby is. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, Toby's not. And there's no matchup. Like, there's no matchup that necessarily favors him in this
right.
series.
At all.
Yeah. So you would try Ricky Council. Give him some run.
Yeah, just some run. The problem is you can't give him all the minutes because, again, he's not a well-rounded player like Toby. Toby's a polished player. Like, even when he's not shooting well, he does those other things well. You know, Ricky Council's, he's a rookie. He was undrafted. He's a very green player. Like,
Yeah.
You know, you only want him to get 7-8 minutes, you know?
But yeah, could he provide a spark to kind of, well, I mean, maybe, because, you know, I mean, this is obviously like, the story during the Embiid run, but like, you need to find, I mean, they get killed every game when he's off the court, like killed.
Yeah.
Right. It's unbelievable.
This series is no different. I think last game they were like, what were they like minus 15 when he was off the court and is like 9 minutes off the court or something like that.
Game one, I know, was real bad. Game two, I thought it was a little closer, but game one was like, game one was rough.
They were up like 14, right? And then gave up like almost double digit points. And then they were like, well, we got to switch it up a little bit now.
Yeah.
Game two, I think, was a little closer, but game one was real bad. Like, but I don't know how they can, I don't know how they can solve that because it's killing them.
It's like they really need to just sign a starting caliber number two center.
I mean, they would love Hartenstein, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
he'd be perfect.
I mean, I love Paul Reed, but he's more of a number four. He's more of a four than a.
You could tell. And then in this series, like, because the Knicks have two, in my opinion, two legitimate centers. Like, obviously not as good of Embiid, but like two centers that are good starters in the league that do things really well, and they are just killing Paul Reed. It's like, I mean, Mitch is basically coming in the second unit. And he's going against Paul Reed. Like, Paul Reed doesn't stand a chance against Mitch.
Yeah, he's too strong.
Oh, yeah. Mitch is a beast. There's no way. He's like 7'1" or whatever.
Paul Reed's like skinny as fuck.
Yeah. Like he gets destroyed when Mitch is in. And like, I don't know.
Even iHeart, I feel like, has like 40 pounds on fucking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I would love to know the weight difference. Let me look that up.
But like Paul Reed gets like those Paul Reed minutes, and I know you're okay. Like, man, I get why, but like I agree, he probably would be better at the four, but he can't shoot, can he?
Let's see. He actually, so this was his first year that he started shooting the three. He swears he can shoot the three. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, they all swear. Mitch has been swearing for 5 years that he's a good 3-point shooter, but the Knicks don't let him shoot. Okay. It's like, all right, Mitch.
Okay, so first of all, he did not shoot many threes. He averaged less than one per game, but he shot 36.8%, which is,
I mean, that's a decent percentage. Obviously, he has to shoot more than 73s a season.
All right, so he shot 57 of them, and he made 21. 57.
That's not a bad percentage. He has to shoot more for people to respect it, but yeah.
That's good for his first year shooting threes. I mean, totally fucking good.
Oh, totally.
Here's some weights. So first of all, yeah. Who's the heaviest out of iHeart and Mitch?
I think Mitch is.
Wrong.
Oh really? iHeart weighs more?
Yep.
Oh wow.
iHeart weighs 250. Mitch weighs 240.
Oh wow.
And Paul Reed weighs 210.
I mean, so you can get 30 pounds.
Yeah, 30-pound difference, and they're both 7 feet. He's 6'9", yep. They have a couple inches on him and 30 pounds.
Yeah.
So he's definitely a four.
No, you know, definitely a four, yeah. Oh, definitely a four. And I feel like it would be okay in some series, like Boston. You play Boston, I think you can get away with B-ball Paul at the five, because they're not going to, like, Boston's a terrible rebounding team. Like, they're not going to punish you in the paint. They're not going to punish you. Like, but the Knicks will. I mean, it's
a bad matchup for Reed.
A terrible matchup. It's how the Knicks beat Cleveland last year. I mean, they just beat Cleveland up in the paint on the board. They gobbled up every single missed shot and they just beat them up. You know, and I think, you know, I mean, so that's a bad matchup. But I do think they probably, I mean, they've said this for years, but it's not just like, but I don't understand, because like they keep Maxi on, you know, so it's not like Maxi and Embiid are off at the same time,
right? Yeah, it's not like you bring in your whole second unit and it's,
yeah, so I don't really understand what the problem is, right?
I don't know, maybe teams just get amped when they see fucking Embiid off the court. It's like, maybe it's go time.
Well, you know what it is, I don't think there's any paint protection. Like, no, teams just go right into the paint. Like, I mean, that's what they need. They need, like, just a shot blocker, rebounder type guy, you know? But, yeah, that's rough. So what are your feelings now? Philly's down 0-2, but they're coming back home.
I'd rather them be playing away, to be honest with you, in the next game.
You think it could be bad?
Yeah. Yeah. I would have more confidence if the third game was in New York, to be honest with you.
So you'd feel better if Philly lost the first two at home and headed to New York for game three.
Yes. Yes, I would. Which sounds crazy. But it's just because of this Toby factor. It's like fans are in such disgust right now. Like, well, they have no patience, none with him.
And that's really why I thought it was critical for the Knicks to win game two, because I think that Philly fan base is right on the edge. And you can, with a fast start or a slow start by the Sixers, and fast start by the Knicks, like, you could send them into like disaster mode.
The game could be over in 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, again, I know that. And while I was probably overdramatic, Roland, that's really what I was thinking. I was like, I think the Knicks could really win the series by winning game two and like sending Philly into like a mental breakdown on Thursday.
Yep, it's possible.
It is possible. No, it's
Philly in disarray.
It's totally possible. Now, what else should we talk about? Brunson? Thoughts on Brunson? This is the problem with the Knicks, I think, that was a concern heading into the playoffs, is he's the driver of their offense. I mean, I think Philly's played him obviously very well, but like they're also keying on him completely.
Right, and leaving. And, then, and again, it's inevitable. And if you're going to key him, someone's going to be wide open. You know, and yeah. it's not a flaw in the defense. It's a design in the defense. You know,
totally. I mean, the Knicks did it last year with Cleveland. They left what's his name, Okora, wide open all game.
Right,
couldn't make a shot all series.
Right, and sometimes it's going to bite in the ass. And so far, this series through two games, it has bit him in the ass.
It has, but I don't think it'll change.
Yeah, no, I would keep doing it. You know, because it's still
totally.
You'd rather Josh Hart beat you than Brunson, because once Brunson catches on fire, the game's over. I think
totally right. Like if Brunson catches fire in game three, I'd be really concerned if I were Philly.
Yep.
Because he could go for 50 and then end the game.
Yep. Yeah. So I wouldn't change anything if I was Philly. The only thing I would change is some minutes distribution.
Yeah, I feel like Philly, I mean, so what do you do? Because I feel like Philly in the first two games has gotten off to pretty fast starts, like in the first quarter, and then slowly wears down. And then they kind of have, they had a better fourth quarter, but it still wasn't great. Like, and I think part of it is Embiid. Like, do you give Embiid a bigger rest? Like, do you really rest him?
You got to find a way to give him another rest.
I think you do, right?
You have to, because, again, I mean, you know, it's hard to say. The first game, he played so well in the fourth quarter. You know. So I hate to criticize him for his fourth quarter conditioning, because, that was his best quarter in the first game, was his fourth quarter, like, by far. But then the second game, he was obviously...
Had nothing in the fourth quarter.
So we're talking about a two game sample. How do you? I don't know.
But the problem is though, is whenever he takes a break, they get killed.
Right.
So it's like you have to figure out how to either play even those minutes or just not get blown off. You know.
Yeah.
Well, why did they play Mitch so little in game two? Was there a good reason? Was he playing like shit? I didn't catch the first half.
Well, because I think like what we were talking about before, like Hartenstein helps open up the offense a little bit more for Brunson because he can get that push shot going.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that's kind of why I think the Knicks are trying to get Brunson going, and I think giving Hartenstein an option there. And like honestly, I think, and here's the luxury for the Knicks. Mitch came back. Mitch also, I mean, Not a knee injury, but he also had like a lower leg injury, and he was out more or less the same amount of time that Embiid was out. He has maybe a week or so more back than Embiid does, but like Mitch played great in game one, like really, really good. But I bet the other factor is like playing that quickly after he also doesn't have the wind, but like you have Hartenstein, so you don't need Mitch to play 40 minutes, you know,
right? And
or whatever,
you know. The other luxury of Mitch, too, is, like, you don't ask him to do anything on offense. Like, Embiid, he's using all his energy on offense, whereas I would prefer let Maxey use all the energy on offense and let Embiid save himself for the defensive side of the ball. Like, I'd rather see that.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, he could just stay. He doesn't have to do that much moving around. Like, he could just stay and, like, you know. That foul line extended, or maybe take a couple threes. I mean, he's a good shooter, obviously, but then I think they need to change who's out there then, because they need more shooters then if they want to ask Embiid to do a little less offensively. Because as good as Maxey is, he's going to need some help, and I don't think it could be Toby,
right?
And I don't think it could be Oubre, although Oubre has been very good defensively. So like that's kind of where if I'm Philly, I'm like I need to find somebody else that can kind of, you know, I mean Larry was great in game one, he was fine in game two, but like. You know, he's 39 years old. Like, what do you you can't expect Larry to be like the consistent third scorer that you need.
Yeah, I mean, so, I'd give Campaign some more minutes. I mean, I think
I know he gave him like five minutes in game one, and that was it.
And it was a solid 5 minutes too. I mean, it wasn't bad or anything.
Because he,
I don't even know if it was five. I feel like it was.
Yeah, I know.
Five,
I think it might have been less than five. I think I was rounding up. But. Yeah, I'm surprised that Campaign hasn't gotten more run, because he's somebody who can get hot.
Yeah, he was so good for the Sixers in the regular season. Like, It's kind of shocking that he hasn't gotten at least 5 minutes every game so far.
Yeah, just like, yeah. I'm surprised Campaign. I mean, he's going with Larry. I mean, Larry plays good. You know, is Campaign not a good defensive player?
He's not.
That's tough. I mean, that's probably why he trusts Larry. I mean,
Larry's a better Larry's good at taking charges. He's crafty with getting some steals here and there.
Yeah, he's going to fight. I mean, like I said, he's the Josh Hart type of player, and then he's going to hit big shots.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the only problem is he's 39, so you can't, like, rely on him to, you know, fly around for 40 minutes a game.
He's due for a bad game because he's played too good the first two. He's due to be terrible the next game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's going to be tough for him to keep it up. I totally agree. Did Maxi sit the second half? Did he play the whole second half the other night?
Mm.
I thought Maxi played the entire almost.
I think he did because he had a pretty long break, either in the late first or into the second, or like both.
Yes,
and so he must have played the whole second half.
I thought he played the whole second half. Yeah. So are you happy with? I guess you'd say depends how they're playing, but are you happy with the? I'm trying to think who are the five that they closed with. Monday night. I was obviously Embiid, Maxey, Larry, and then who are the other two? Was it?
I think Batum and Harris.
Batum and Harris. Yeah, I think you're right.
I was not happy with Harris being out there to close because it was just weird because the last couple weeks of the season, Harris got benched the last.
I remember that. Yeah,
2 minutes of the game. So it's weird that he went back to Harris.
And who did he bench him for? Who did he bench him for? Council.
For Kalto or even KJ Martin, some games. Hmm. It was different each game. It was kind of a rotation, you know. Sometimes Batum was out there. Even Buddy Hield ended some games out there.
It's weird that he's not trying to see, like, and the Knicks have an 8-man rotation. That's it. They know who their 8 guys are. And then, like, they'll mix and match those 8 guys depending on how they're playing. So, like, game one, Bogdanovich and McBride played in the first half. They always do. And then and then if they play well in the first half, then they're going to get more run in the second half. And so he'll kind of, you know, Tibbs will play it by ear. I'm surprised that Nurse isn't testing out a couple different guys in the first half to see, like, hey, you know, does Council have it? Does, you know, outside of, like, Buddy Hield and Batum and Uber, okay, Buddy Hield has not had it these first two games. So why don't you try, like... The Campaign thing, I think that's a good point. Like, he, you know, he's only played 2 or 3 minutes. What's the deal with some of these other players? Like, why aren't you at least, you know? Because, I mean, you've said it all season. Like this is the most depth and the deepest Sixers team during the Embiid era. But it's really short.
That, though, when they had Melton and Covington, though, you know, you lost.
Covington's
those
out.
Those were probably the two best guys that aren't playing right now. If those two were available right now, Buddy Hield might not even be playing at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's barely playing as is.
I mean, he got almost 15 minutes last game.
Oh, did he get that many minutes? Oh, they were bad minutes then. Jeez, I don't even remember him playing 15 minutes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good amount of minutes. You're getting over 10, that's a good amount of minutes.
That's the... That's the Tobias Harris game. You ever hear one of the funniest things I always think that Bill Simmons talks about is Tobias Harris, and when he's like, and when he plays like 35 minutes a game, and Bill's like, honestly, it's like, did he even know he was out there? I played 35 minutes. I thought I saw him maybe once. Yeah, like those are those type of games. You know, whatever type of games, the Tobias Harris stuff. I find that so funny because it's so true.
It is.
Let's see. What was, I'm looking at Buddy Hield's line. What was it? You know?
So it's weird. Buddy Hield and Tobias Harris both played more minutes in game two than they did game one.
Buddy Hield, 15 minutes, 2 points, 1 rebound. Eesh, that's not ideal. Tobias played 41 minutes. Yeah, Maxey played 44, so he had to play the whole second half.
Yeah.
I mean, Tobias played 41 minutes and scored 10 points. I guarantee 8 of those points were like in the first quarter. Like, I feel like when there's no pressure, like he made that first three or whatever, like the first shot of the game. Like, I feel like when there's like no pressure like that.
First half,
he did, but I feel like once the pressure picks up, and the game gets a little bit more intense, like, I feel like that's when he's, like, really bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Isn't that what it, like, because I feel like, he looks great. He looked great in the first half. Like, regular player. And then, like, as soon as the second half, the crowd gets a little louder, the game gets a little closer, it's like pressure's building up, and he just takes a couple of the worst shots you've ever seen. Well, like, wide open, you have to take them, and, like, they're terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, again, you know, and that's the only thing anybody ever sees with Toby, and rightfully so, is his offense game. But again, he's still got 9 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block.
Yeah.
You know, so he's doing other things, but again, they need him to score more than, you know.
More than 10 points.
But he's, yeah, yeah. If you're playing 41 minutes and like, you touch like the ball as much as you do.
Like, that's a fine stat line for Batum, right? I mean, 10 points, couple rebounds, like that's a perfect role player stat line. But like he
had 9 rebounds. That's more that's like
9. But the 10 points,
that's high end.
He has to score more than 10 points.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like that's not, you know, like you're on the floor for 40 minutes. You're not, I get he's a good defensive player, but you're not there for your defense, right? Like you're there to
you took the third most shots on the team.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, 11 is the third most.
Oh, 11, that's it, huh? Jeez, Embiid and Maxey just really dominate, huh? I mean, obviously they have to, but still, that's crazy.
Yeah, 35, 34, and then the next closest is Harris with 10.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, and I mean, they weren't even that inefficient, those two guys. I mean, Embiid only made 41%, but I mean, he had a pretty solid, I can't criticize him. I mean, he had a,
no.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
No, I mean, you feel bad criticizing him. But you criticize him on the little stuff. But like again, is he out of shape, tired, injured? Like it's like the rebounds and like that type of stuff. You know, like that's some of the stuff that's
really,
like he
you're
has
really
to.
Nitpicking him for like 2 or 3 plays where like he doesn't have the juice. But really, if Toby would step up throughout the game, like there's two or three little plays from Bede wouldn't even be needed.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the end of the game real quick. I hated, forget about the official stuff. I'm sure we can go back and forth on that.
I mean, I don't ever like blame games on
what was that?
Officials. You'll never hear me blame games on officials.
No, and it is what it is. Yeah. I hated Philly's last 2 offensive possessions of the game. I don't know what you thought. I hated the Maxey play where he got the shot got blocked by Hartenstein because. To me, that's such a so. You give Maxey the ball in the backcourt, and you basically say, "Go full speed to the basket and beat everybody because he's so fucking fast."
Right.
But the problem is, like, there's nobody in the paint for him to pass the ball to. Embiid's standing at the 3-point line, so like, or it, just inside it. So like, Hartenstein doesn't even have to worry about him.
Yeah.
So like,
you know, the problem with Maxey is he's still. This is his first year being like the ball handler, so he hasn't. Really learned about, you know, he's not like great at kicking it out as often as he should. Sometimes he gets in those mindsets where he just drives in and he doesn't even look to kick out for sometimes. Like, I feel like that's something he has to learn to do a little more often.
But I feel like there wasn't even a good kick out option for him. I felt like it was like, I don't know. I totally get that. But I didn't like that play call. It's basically like, I get it. But like there was, like that corner pass would have been so tough. Embiid's nowhere near the play, so then Hartenstein has no responsibility.
After about 4 steps driving, like usually Embiid's guy leaves him, and Embiid's wide open. Like because that's a play they do a lot where Maxey will drive and he'll get to like maybe free throw line. Embiid's defender will leave him, and he'll like throw it over his left shoulder, like behind him. Embiid, and that play works very often, and that's something they do throughout the course of the regular season. But then there's other games where Maxey doesn't even look at that.
Oh, he didn't. He went beeline to the basket.
Yeah, that was a play where he wasn't even considering that as an option.
No, he was going coast to coast himself, and I mean he beat everybody. Hartenstein was 7 feet tall. He just blocked the shot.
Right.
I wasn't crazy about that.
But again, as he's doing it, you know it's going to be a blocked shot though. You just
and I also thought. And I also thought it was a little, I thought they'd take more time off the clock, to be honest with you. Because there was still 5 seconds left, I think, when the Knicks got that ball. Like, so even if he made the shot, the Knicks would have had 5 seconds to get off a shot to win the game.
Right. Oh, for sure.
So I'm kind of surprised at the whole sequence. Like, I'm surprised that they didn't kind of, like, take it up, set up a Embiid Maxi pick and roll up top. Like, that's what I would... That's, if I'm a Knicks fan, I was terrified of that. You know?
Yep, yep.
And then...
I mean, at the same time, though, I have no problem with letting Maxi be Maxi. I mean...
Me neither, but I would have preferred it. I mean, if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm like, God, don't run the fucking pick and roll. Like, you know? And then I also... Then the last play of the game... I know they didn't have a timeout, but I also thought that was a little odd too, wasn't it? It just felt like they were taking like a really long time to like get the ball up the court and for somebody to take a shot. And then they ended up with like an Embiid 35 footer. Like I felt like Maxey had full speed. I'm surprised he just didn't take a leaner, like, you know,
I don't know why he didn't just take the leaner.
Yeah. Like I thought like to me, like that was a good look for him. I was relieved when he passed it to Embiid, who honestly didn't look like he was ready to shoot the ball.
I think he expected Maxey to shoot it.
I think he did too. Yeah. So I think Embiid was shocked and he almost didn't get the shot off.
Right. Yeah, that was weird.
It was weird. I wasn't crazy about the two end plays. I do like how Tibbs is coaching so far. I thought he's done a solid job. It's easy to say to that when, you know, they're up 2-0, but I do think he's done I thought he's done a great job all season, but I think he's done a really nice job this series so far.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything criticized for.
No, I think he's played the right guys at the right time. Like I think he's kind of, you know, done what he's needed to do.
Can I bring up one small thing before we probably move on?
Go for it, Roland.
Are you worried at all about Brunson's confidence, especially like at the game end of game two? It just seemed like he was out of it, and then he dumped the ball when he didn't really need to. Like, he didn't want to take the final shot.
He was definitely getting frustrated in game two. I think, honestly, for Brunson, I don't think I'd be worried about his confidence, but I think how Rich is nervous that they're going back to Philly to play, I think as much as I think Knicks fans would never boo Brunson, I think it could be a bit of a relief to get to a change of scenery, because I felt like he was pressing a lot. And I know sometimes like going on the road and playing in front of like, you know, hostile fans can kind of help him ease back into it.
He was definitely pressing a lot. Like, I think he was forcing shots that he didn't need to.
Yeah, he was. And he was, I mean, he's working hard. Like, they're making him work hard. And you could tell. And I think that's why Tibbs also gave him like an extended rest there at the start of the fourth quarter. Like, I was surprised how long he was letting him sit as Philly was coming back. But I think it could also be because he's probably a little spent. So I think this break will help the Sixers, but I think it could also help Jalen Brunson. Like, because they have an extra 2 days, I think, don't they? Before the next game?
Not till Thursday, I think.
Yep.
So, like, I think that helps the Knicks. Like, I think that could help Brunson. I think it could also help Embiid, too, although I don't even know. I mean, Embiid might not be close to healthy again until next year anyway, so it might not even matter the days off.
Yeah, I don't think it matters for him. I think this helps Brunson the most.
I think so too, and obviously Maxey.
Too, because he was a little sick.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not really... I mean, it'll help him get better, but like, I'm sure he's, you know... It's not like he needs the rest because he's like tired and old.
No, I'm just talking sickness.
Yeah. And I think Brunson has worked really hard these first two games, so I think his legs look kind of dead. Last night, like it looked like he had no left. So that could certainly be helpful for him. But yeah, any other, before we leave the NBA, any other NBA playoff stuff?
I mean, the Pacers beat the Bucks tonight. I like that.
I love that. Even if the Bucks win the series, like, let them work a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's better for whoever wins our series.
Is there any news on Giannis coming back?
I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen any updates.
No, I've heard nothing.
Seemed very like nebulous. Like, probably be out for the first series. Maybe, no one knows.
I think we might hear something in the next couple of days. I think they weren't gonna do any updates until they lost the game. Because like, if they went up 2-0, 3-0, like, you have no reason to even consider bringing them back.
I mean, they're just listing them as, you know, For this game, they're listing him as doubtful.
Right.
You know, so it's not really any information.
Yeah, I would expect, you know, he's not going to play game three, but if they go down 2-1, then...
Are they going to do everything there? I mean, how long have they been out now? Has it been a week? 2 weeks?
I think at least two, I think.
Has it been two? Might only be one.
Really?
Because it was like the next to last game of the season that he got hurt on, I think. Oh, no.
April 9th.
Oh, no, so 2 weeks. Okay, so 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks today.
So Dame, I guess, said he had a similar injury, and he was out for at least three.
Okay, so he could return next week then, in theory.
In theory. But, I mean, it might be sooner, because if they lose this one, I would imagine their next game is, what, Friday maybe? I don't even know when, you know?
Yeah.
They're down 2-1, like, they're going to be putting, you know, trying to hurry him up here.
Right, right.
Because now they're going back to Indiana. I think, quick roundup of the other series, I think Cleveland-Orlando, like, nobody gives a shit about that series.
No, nobody at all.
I mean, Cleveland's winning, but, like, who cares? And either of those teams are going to get smoked by Boston in round two.
Yep. Yep.
Boston-Miami, I think that series is over, too.
Yeah.
It looks like Miami's just going to try to hurt the Celtics Flyers.
Yeah, that's a good strategy.
It really just looks like they're just going to try to take out as many players as they can. And then I'm watching Dallas Clippers. I think this could be a good series if Dallas wins tonight. Denver LA, that Lakers game yesterday was last night was crazy.
Yeah, I wish I could have stayed up for that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I saw like the first half and I was like, all right, I'm tired.
I'm so disappointed they didn't win though. I mean, you know, I'm a LeBron fan, so I want
to. I do.
You know,
I do. There's no way
they're beating Dan, but I don't want to see him get swept, you know, again.
It's too bad because I really feel like this is the worst matchup for them. Like, if they were playing the Thunder in the first round, I think they might win.
Yeah. Denver is just the worst matchup for them.
Oh, such a bad matchup. Bad matchup for most teams, but especially the Lakers.
Yep. Fucking.
And sucks. Then who won the Phoenix game? I missed that game.
Phoenix lost again.
Oh, did they really? Was it close at least?
Yeah, they lost up by double digits.
Oh, man. Yeah. They might be done. I can't believe the Suns.
I know.
I mean, that's really bad.
Yeah, I don't know what the Suns are going to do. I mean, I don't know. You know, KD's still solid. I mean, he's not a bad player at this point. I mean,
him and Booker should be. I know. Between him, Booker, and then Bradley Beal, who's playing well, I don't understand. I don't get what's going on with Phoenix. Like, I haven't watched really any of the games, but I'm like, I don't know. I mean, Minnesota's a good team.
Paper.
Yeah, like, I get Minnesota's a good team. Like, I'm not. But, like, they got crushed the first game. Or not crushed, but they got beat soundly the first game. Sounds like they got beat soundly the second game, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway, NFL draft this week. You excited or you don't even care?
Well, now it's the same night as the Knick game.
I know.
It's terrible. So, terrible.
How did they do that?
I don't know. I just saw that and I was like, are you kidding me?
I mean, the game could have easily been Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Could easily have been Monday. Like, so instead, I don't know what time the Knick game is or what time the draft is.
I assume 7:30 again.
I assume 7:30. And the draft is what, 8?
Yeah, I believe so.
I'm going to have to find a bar. We're going to Madison.
Madison?
State Capitol, baby.
Why?
Well, we're just going out of town for Justin's birthday.
Oh, that's nice. When's the next? Does it say when the next game is?
7:30.
Oh, yeah, 7:30, yeah.
Yeah.
And when's the next game? Oh, is the next game Saturday? Yeah. Oh, Sunday, thank God. Whew.
Why? What do you got playing on Saturday?
Sunday at 1 o'clock? Fuck.
Yeah, that's rough.
Sunday at 1? Oof.
Oh, actually, I think I could watch that game. Oh, I can watch that game. Whew. Oh, man, I dodged a couple bullets. I'm going out Saturday night, so I wouldn't be able to watch the Knick game Saturday night. And then Sunday, we have sports, but I see that's another 2 days off. Round one is weird. There's like a lot of long layoffs in round one. But NFL draft, yeah, I mean, I'm excited, but now I'm not as excited because I'm not going to be able to watch it.
It's a shame because it is like, you know, NBA is my favorite right now, But
yeah,
my NFL draft is my favorite sports night of the year. So unfortunately, like, that trumps even the Sixers for me. Like, I just love the NBA draft. I mean, the NFL draft. It's my favorite sports night of the year. It's disappointing that the Sixers got to play the same night. I'm so upset about it.
I know. I'm pretty bummed too. Never did I think that they would play the same night as the draft.
So
I don't know what I'm going to do.
I mean, I'm obviously going to watch the fucking Sixers game, but I'm fucking pissed about it.
Two TVs, my friend. Two TVs. Two TVs.
Well, I like to be focused on one thing. I hate flipping back and forth. I hate watching two things. I'm not that type of person. I don't like doing it.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know, silver lining, you know, the Sixers could give up, you know, in 10 minutes and then I can enjoy
the game.
Well, hopefully no one gets injured and then the game and the series is over.
Right.
Are you expecting Embiid to get hurt during the series?
Yeah, I told you, I think when the series started, I didn't think he was going to make it to game three. So, I mean, the fact that he's making it to game three, I honestly,
with that game one play, I thought he was done.
Yeah, me too.
I legit was like, oh my God, that's it. And I came back in the second half.
Oh, well, you know, actually, I didn't even see that play live, to be honest with you, because lacrosse was on at the time. So.
I still cannot believe that.
That's so wild to me. Like I said, would you put it on a fucking like cricket game on like ESPN6?
That's wild to me.
That seems the same to me. It's a regular season college lacrosse game.
Yeah.
Regular season college lacrosse game. Who cares?
Any of those words are disqualifying. Any of them. Just choose one. You don't even need all of them.
And like I said, the only reason you could justify it over a Knicks playoff game is if your kid was actually on one of those teams.
Right. Yep. 100%. 100%.
Like, or maybe you had money on it and it was the end of the game or something.
Yeah, maybe if you had money on it. But then why the hell are you betting Knicks Sixers, idiot? but yeah. Your kid's playing in the sport, totally get it. But, like, are you fucking kidding me? You're watching Michigan, Ohio State, regular season college lacrosse? What, the 10 people in the stands? I've watched those college lacrosse games. There's nobody there.
Oh, man. It happening in real time, I was like, I can't believe this is real life. And I was like, I can't wait till Dan hears about this.
I can't believe it. I would have been so fucking pissed.
Listen, and you know what? I'm at Tommy's house. It's his family. Like, in my mind, I can't even say anything. Like,
yeah, that's tough.
I was very close to driving to the bar and not even saying anything to anybody.
That would have been hilarious. I would have. No, you know what I would have done? I would have just gone on my phone. I would have just sat in the corner,
That's what I did.
Oh, that's what you did.
Yeah.
I mean, what did Tommy say?
I actually left and went to my car and watched on my phone for like 10 minutes.
Oh my God.
Tommy, like, where's Rich?
I like your kids' get up, Rich.
I mean, I respect it. Looking I would have done fresh. The same thing. Like, a fucking playoff game. Are we serious? And, like, it's one thing if it's like Sixers Miami. And you're in a New York house, so like right. Nobody yep. really gives a shit, right? Okay, fine. Like, and you go in that and with you go in with that mindset. Okay, probably no one's going to be watching this Sixer game because right. Nobody cares.
Yep.
But it's Knicks Sixers game one, where the Knicks are the 2 seed and have like a legit chance to make a run in the playoffs.
Right.
How do you
have in a New York family household?
And a New York family household who you know. All of those people, at least tangentially, root for the Knicks.
Yep.
Even if they're not diehards?
Every single one of them there. Every single one of them.
Did anybody say anything? Or were they like, oh, cool, Michigan Ohio?
Well, at that point, it was just me.
Was it like later?
Me, him, and maybe his 2 kids in the room. The dads.
Were they into it? Was he into the game? But he just put it on because he likes watching.
Yeah, he didn't seem like excited about it. Like, it seemed like he just put it on because it was lacrosse. Like,
God, these fucking lacrosse people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have lost my mind.
I'd probably ask him if he's having a stroke right now or something. No, I would just yell, are you fucking kidding me?
I'd be like, hey, can we get that Nick game back on? What the fuck are you doing? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Wow, I kind of wish I stuck around, though, just to see how Tommy phrased it to him.
Oh, so you weren't there when Tommy told him to put the game back on?
No. So I don't even know if Tommy actually did say that or not. You know,
Yeah. I could see that not happening.
Yeah, that could all be a lie.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Like the lacrosse game could have ended or something, and he could have put it back on.
100% the game could have ended, and then, yeah.
Let us know what you think. Lastmansopinion@gmail.com.
That's unbelievable.
How would you have handled the situation?
Yeah. I mean,
how long would you put up with regular season college lacrosse during an NBA playoffs?
I find that. And, like, I mean, the guy's a big sports fan, is he not?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was. Is he not?
No, he is. He is. Maybe not the NBA, but, you know.
He's a big hockey guy, isn't he?
Hey, I mean, and he's definitely a big, like, New York sports fan, too.
Yeah, but, yeah. This is Brian, right?
Yeah. Yep. Huh.
Yep. I mean.
You one of our, like, six listeners?
Well,
speaking now to you, Brian. This is directly to you. Let us know what the hell you were thinking.
Brian,
lastmansopinion@gmail.com.
Brian, we need to talk. So, listen, Brian. In the future, if there's a playoff game involving any New York sports team, from the Knicks, Giants, Rangers, New York Liberty, the fucking MLS team, I don't even know what that called in New York.
If you want to watch lacrosse.
It takes precedent over every fucking lacrosse game that your kid is not involved in. Lacrosse is at the bottom.
Yeah, like my family isn't big sports fans, but if any Philly team was in the playoffs, they would just have that game on in the background.
Yeah, on in the background. That's it.
And they don't care about it, but they're going to have it on in the background. Just, you know.
That's all you want.
Yeah.
It's on in the background. Well, like you're having a family party during a playoff season. You're putting that game on. Like my dad was here over the weekend, and we watched the Knick game Saturday night. And then I wanted to watch the Laker game because I was like, oh, I really want to watch Laker Denver. And he's like, oh, actually, could we put on the Bruins game? I was like, all right. Didn't realize he's a big hockey guy, apparently, all of a sudden. But, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
Bruins, we watch hockey. Like when it's playoff season and a professional sport, this should be, if the TV's on and there's people over, this should be a playoff game on.
Agreed.
Like, that's just life.
Yeah, that's it.
Not that difficult. Like, I don't understand. I'm still flabbergasted by it. And like he's like a sports guy. I mean, he's obsessed with lacrosse, which is, you know, I guess could have been a red flag.
Yep.
But yep. You know, unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll never forget this moment, Dan.
I would be shocked. What the fuck was Tommy doing? Where was he?
I don't know. Tommy was cooking or something, or
yeah, no, he's always doing some bullshit.
Yeah,
the man cook.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give him credit. He wasn't in the room when the change happened. So,
I mean, so was it a commercial break at least, or was it just like in the middle of the play? It's like, you know what?
it was a commercial break. But then it was like, you're like, oh, he's definitely gonna flip back. You know, in like 2 minutes.
He's one of those people that just can't stand the commercials.
Right, right. You give him the benefit of the doubt, but then it's like 7 minutes later, like, I think he's switching back.
Did he forget?
Right. But then lacrosse goes on commercial and he doesn't flip back.
Oh, man. That would drive me crazy. And like,
then you know you're in trouble when lacrosse goes on commercial and he doesn't flip back. You know you're
Yeah, then it's hurt. Like, oh, no, he actually is doing this intentionally.
Yeah, yep.
Because I can see,
that's the moment I left and went to my car.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Because you could be like, oh, okay, he's just going to do this during commercials. That's annoying, but whatever, I could deal with it. Right. And then, like, the secondary game goes to commercial, and you're like, did he forget? And then, yeah, when it goes to commercial, you know he didn't forget. It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. We're in this now.
Oh, we have a problem. That's unbelievable. I still can't get over that. And, like, I'm just watching the Clipper game right now. But, like, game one at Madison Square Garden, like, that crowd was bananas. Like, they were, like, yelling and it was constant noise. Mike Green was on the call. Like, Mike Green is one of the best announcers in the history of the NBA. Like, he's listening to fucking College Across, complete silence. That's what that crowd was.
Yep. And you know what pained me especially, too? During that time that he switched was when Rich Rinelli texted me that he was at the game, too. And it was just like, man, the world's really trying to give me the middle finger right now, like, that I can't watch the fucking game.
It's so funny.
It wasn't funny in the moment, Dan.
No.
Also funny because it happened to you and not us.
Right, yes.
Yeah, I mean, if it happened to me, I would have lost my fucking mind.
We all wish it happened to you instead, Dan.
I would,
You
would have a better
story. That would be the whole pod.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have lost my mind.
That'd be it. We just have story time.
I lose my mind. Well, that's why I don't go anywhere.
Dan would be potting from jail right now.
Well, that's why I don't go anywhere when playoff games are on. Like, somebody's like, hey, you want to come over to watch the playoff game? I'm like, I can't. Like, I can't.
You know what? Normally, I am that way, but I was like, you know what? Tommy's family knows me. They know I'm into basketball. His family's into sports. This is a Knicks game. Like, there's going to be no issues with this. Like, nope. I did not foresee any issues coming into this.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that.
And then it happened. Lesson learned.
Then it happened. Yeah.
Just no one.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, that's why, like, somebody appears like, oh, you want to, like, you know, watch the game on Thursday? And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm going to be insufferable. I'm going to be yelling at the TV. I know who I am.
At least you know who you are.
I know.
Truth is the truth.
You know, I know. Like I would be, you know, I'd be bitching at every call. I can't show that side of myself to other people.
Yeah.
Let me sit in my basement and stew by myself, yelling at the TV.
That is the best way to watch the playoffs.
Oh my god! And I feel bad. Like my kids want to watch the game the other day, and I was like, no. I was like, watch it upstairs by yourself without me. I was like, I can't. I need to I can't. It's too much. And like the NBA, I love the NBA, and I love the NBA playoffs. But like when your team's in it, like to me, it's just so stressful because like, oh my god. Well,
I totally agree. Like, I get more enjoyment watching these other games than I do the fucking.
Oh, me too. Like, okay, now I'm fine tonight. I'm fine Wednesday, but I'm gonna be super stressed Thursday. If they lose, I'm gonna be stressed until Sunday, and then you know, and then like that's just one series. And like realistically, I know the Knicks aren't gonna win it all, so like eventually they're gonna lose, and that's gonna suck.
Bound to happen. It's gonna happen more often than not.
Oh, I know.
That way.
And, like, the playoffs are so fucking long. Like the playoffs, playoffs aren't going to be over for, what, 2 months?
Yep.
It's an incredibly long, but I love every fucking second of it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I love it.
Yep. We're in it for the torture.
I am in it for the torture. I could watch every game. I'm loving this Clippers. And, like, they just play so much differently. It's just so much fun to watch them play, you know? Like in the regular season, they're just doing shit, and they're super athletic, and like making all these crazy plays, you know, making all these crazy plays and all this. And then like the playoffs start, and they're like completely different people, and I love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you get the shorter rotation, so you're seeing
best of the best,
just the eight best players. You know, you're starting to see the strategies come out, and like the counter strategies, and like. Yep.
And, like, it's all stuff and it's, like, you know, like I said, like, I wish I knew, because watching the fourth quarter, it's, like, Maxi Embiid pick and roll, Maxi Embiid pick and roll, Maxi Embiid pick and roll, Maxi Embiid pick and roll. And then they stopped doing it, and I'm, like, oh, shit, Tibbs must have done something. But, like, I'm not smart enough to figure out what exactly he did, because I don't know the NBA enough, but it's like, oh, here's a strategy. Or it's like, oh, shit, they're going to try this guy, match up with him. You know, I love it. I love every second of it. Guys yelling at each other. Ah, it's great. It's great. It's great. And so, anyway. All right, so before we go, prediction for game 3.
Knicks by 30.
He's giving up. Roland?
That was the moment the Rich just rolled over and died. I kind of want to say Knicks by like 8 or something.
Oh, 2 Knicks.
But Roland is a tight game. I have a blowout.
I'm going to go Sixers by 12.
I think these are all acceptable answers somehow.
Somehow I think it is. I think they're going to find a way to kind of...
Here's the thing. Dan, you know, is going to change 100 times over the next 48 hours.
I don't know.
And then he's going to analyze how every basket is scored and read into that basket too much and decide the game based off that basket and the energy scored with that basket.
I actually really like how Philly played in the first 2 games, even though they lost. And I don't know, they're at home. I think the fans will be. I don't think the Knicks are going to get off to a fast start. They haven't gotten off to a fast start in the first 2 games, so I don't see why now in game 3 they will. But if they do, I think Rich's score could be correct. But I'm going to go that they won't, and Philly pulls it out.
Yeah, you know, the problem is part of me is, you know, obviously part of me is thinking about last year and how they responded to
the Celtics
last year. But then the other part of me is too is like, seriously, NFL draft is my favorite night of the year. So seriously, part of me is hoping it goes that way so I can enjoy the NFL draft.
Enjoy the draft. Just not even think about it.
Yeah, like, it is legit my favorite night of the year, and I'm upset it's fucking ruined that the Sixers are fucking playing. Like, damn it.
All right, prediction number 2. I guess it doesn't matter. When are the Eagles picking?
They don't pick till fucking 22, I think. So they're probably going O-line. That's my prediction.
What's your prediction for the Giants?
Wide receiver.
Roland?
That would also be my guess with no research whatsoever into draft order and availability.
I think they get a quarterback.
Their first pick.
Ooh. Yeah.
We're obviously talking first pick here, right?
First pick. Yep. I don't know who they might move up, but I think they're determined to get a quarterback in this draft.
Listen, and you know, I am a little jealous, you know, right or wrong, like disagree with it, don't disagree with it. It's always fun to draft a fucking rookie quarterback, I feel like.
Oh, 100%.
Like a potential it's always fucking fun.
Because you never know. Because it's like, okay, this guy could be the next Hall of Famer. Or he could be completely bust.
Strap in, boys. We're going for a ride.
It's fun, no matter what.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's fun. We'll see.
And it fits the Dan MO of anything is possible. We're going to go in 50 different directions.
Yeah. Anything is possible. I'm convinced that they're going to get a quarterback with their first pick. I think there's 1 or 2 guys that they really like. And either they're going to be there when they pick, or the Giants are going to move up and take them. That's my guess.
Yeah. I love watching the draft. I love watching how this unfolds, even though I know nothing about any of these players.
Any of those players. Where is it this year?
I don't even know.
Me neither. I miss when I was in New York all the time.
I know. We really should have gone. I mean, I guess we tried to go that one year, right? We
tried to go the one time. That was terrible.
That was a fail.
That was a big time fail. But that didn't matter anyway because both of our teams traded out of the first round.
Yeah.
That's a huge fail.
Yeah.
I don't remember who the Giants got. I think was that the Kiwanuka draft, maybe?
Who knows?
Yeah, we ended up watching it from like the ESPN Sports Zone, right?
I think so, yeah.
And they both draft. Yeah. You ever watch the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner?
I'm a fan.
Are you really a fan of that movie?
Yeah, it's not a good movie, but it's about the draft, so I fucking love it, bro.
If that movie was the slightest bit realistic, I think it could have been really good.
It definitely could have been a great movie.
Could have been great. Well, have you seen it?
No. Kevin Costner.
It's So
I am a like Kevin Costner fan, but
I like Costner too. The whole fucking premise of the movie was so goddamn stupid.
It was stupid. It really was.
And I'm like, do they have no idea how the NFL draft works? I was excited to see it. And then, well, the guy basically trades like every single pick for the next like decade to move up to like the first pick because there's like this great quarterback. You're not gonna watch it, so you don't care how much I spoiled, do you?
Yeah.
You're good. And so, you know, Bo, I think the kid's name is. And so like he's supposed to be this great quarterback, and I trade everything, and everyone's excited because they get him. And then Kevin Costner, the main character, is like, you know, I don't know about this Bo guy. Let me do some more research on him. And then they decide not to take him because none of his teammates went to his birthday party, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's 100%.
For Roland Barrielli, Rich Cagle, Dan Mara, and myself, Tommy McGraw, thank you for listening to Last Man's Opinion, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Boom.